Hello and welcome back to the YYC Soccer Podcast. My name is Jason Komet and my co-host is Scott Strasser. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Jason. How's it going tonight?
Yeah, so far so good. It's the end of a week here and looking forward to some nice weekend weather, I hope.
Yeah, me too.
So if anyone out there is a new listener, what is the YYC Soccer Podcast about, Scott?
So we are going to focus on soccer in Calgary at the amateur, collegiate, and professional levels. We will talk about and with the teams and players from the city's soccer community, from the grassroots and amateur leagues and teams to the university and professional level.
Yep, sounds good. So far, so good. I think we're episode three. So this episode, we're gonna talk about the Canadian men's national team matches from this week and do a bit of a review of how the four Calgarians on the roster, how they performed, did they appear. And we're also going to spend a little bit of time talking about the Canadian Futsal Championships, which are going to be in Calgary in mid-April. We have the executive director of the Calgary United Soccer Association, Pearl Dope, joining us to discuss that.
Yeah. Good interview with Pearl, who gave some insight into what people can expect when that tournament comes to Calgary in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be kind of cool. I've never been to Seven Chiefs, and I've never really watched high level futsal in person. So I think it could be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a pretty spectacular venue. It's actually really close to where I live in Southwest Calgary, and I did have to go there for a work related reason over Christmas. I was actually covering the Max Hockey Tournament, the very popular AAA midget tournament, and I'd never been there before that, and I was pretty floored by it. I think if you go to watch these games, and I hope to do so too, you'll see this facility is like pretty spectacular.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll listen to that interview in a few minutes, but let's get back to the men's national team. As we mentioned last episode, and there were four Calgarians called up for these two matches that were played this past week. Sam Adekube, Scott Kennedy, Victor Latoury, and Dominic Zator. And it was Latoury and Zator's potentially going to be their first cap. So how did everything turn out, Scott? You want to talk about how it all broke down this week?
Sure. So first and foremost, Canada won both games. Traveling to Curaçao on Saturday, they won 2-0. And then in Toronto on Tuesday evening, they had a really good performance against Honduras, winning 4-1. In terms of the Calgarians' involvement, Scott Kennedy started both games in defense. He started on the right side of a back three against Curaçao, and then he was actually center back in a back three against Honduras. So yeah, full 90 in that opening game and then subbed off in the second game after Canada had built up a pretty healthy lead. And the other Calgarian who played was Sam Adekube, who was subbed into both games. Victor Latoury and Dominic Zator were on the bench for each of the games, but didn't get in, unfortunately. I know we talked last week and hypothesized why we felt they might get in, but it wasn't to be. So they still await their first Canadian international games. But really strong overall Canadian performances, particularly against Honduras. Some of their goals were really well worked, especially that first one from Kyle Larin. Some good work down the left-hand side from Jonathan Osorio and Alfonso Davies, and a nice finish by Kyle Larin, who's moving up the Canada's top goal scorer of all time now, and he seems to be building a bit of a gap at the top.
Larin's really done a good job since he's moved to Spain. He's really become the star of his club team there. And yeah, he puts on that Canada jersey and he really seems to perform for sure.
Yeah, Villarreal seemed to really love him on their Twitter. They're always praising him. So I know they were even tweeting about his goal for Canada too.
Yeah.
His goals. He got two in that game.
And as far as the Calgarians, I think with Scott Kennedy coming back from injury and really having not played too much, for him to get a full match and most of the second match in, it's probably good for him for his position in Canada, but also just for him to really get back to playing matches. So I think that was highly encouraging on that part. I would say I'm quite surprised. I thought that at least Victor Latoury was going to get in, since there's such serious interest on South Sudan's part. I thought John Herdman would want to just make sure they'd cap tie him up. I don't think Dominic Zator is necessarily in as high demand in Poland as Lituri is in South Sudan. So I'm less surprised by that. But what do you think, Scott?
I was surprised Lituri didn't get in. And Zator, I feel he does do really well in a back three, or at least he did back when he played for Cavalry and I watched him every week. But as for Lituri, he is a central midfielder, and Canada, Ismaël Koné, particularly against Honduras, really had a breakthrough performance or a breakout performance and just played really, really well. And he came off for Atiba Hutchinson, who that may have been his last game at BMO Field. So I guess I can see how Lituri wasn't brought on in that game. But against Curaçao, I figured he might have more of a legitimate chance. And hopefully he doesn't commit to South Sudan and we can see him rep Canada in the near future.
I agree. I did notice that his brother, Willie Akiao, did play both matches for South Sudan this past week. So he's definitely in the mix there.
Yeah. And Akiao is also playing in Scotland, right, in the SPL with Victor. So hopefully he's not too encouraging and getting his brother to play with him, both for club and country.
Definitely. Our next topic is the Canadian Futsal Championship, which is going to be held in Calgary in the middle of April. And we have Pearl Dope from the Canadian United Soccer Association, and she's going to talk a little bit more about this tournament, which I think is pretty cool event. What do you think, Scott?
I agree. I think futsal it's not been forgotten about necessarily, but I feel like there was a period quite some time ago where it was very, like, not niche to like futsal, but it was really growing in popularity. In Calgary, shortly after my own minor career ended, they transitioned the tier one youth leagues to playing futsal. This was around 2012, 2013. And I feel like at the time it was pretty in vogue to be playing futsal and to enjoy that version of the sport. But since the arrival of, you know, the Foothills Performance Center, which is now called Macron Performance Center, tier one switched back to an indoor format that was 7-7 outdoor style tactics and coaching. And I feel like futsal has kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit since then. So I was pretty interested when you told me that you wanted to talk about this upcoming tournament. I actually didn't even know it was coming to Calgary, which shows that, you know, there's a lot of work to do on the marketing side for it and to reinvigorate some public interest in futsal. But I think the interview that you did with Pearl was pretty informative, and I hope some people listen to that and it encourages them to go check out some games in the middle of April.
Absolutely. Let's run the interview now. Hi, I'd like to welcome on the line today, it's Pearl Dope. She is the executive director of the Calgary United Soccer Association. And we're going to talk a little bit today about the upcoming Canadian Futsal Championships that are going to be held in Calgary in April. Hi, Pearl.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you coming on. I guess a good place to start would be, what are the Canadian Futsal Championships? What are they all about?
It's rather exciting news for us that they are the first time coming west, and it is the first time we have both a men's and a ladies competition. So it is similar to the soccer fans that are familiar with Challenge and Jubilee Shield. This is the equivalent for the Futsal Nationals. And it leads into the CONCACAF Club Championship. So it's pretty exciting to see it here in Calgary.
As you mentioned there, I did notice that as well, that it's the first time I've noticed they've been in the western part of the country. How did Calgary become host? What was the process there?
We worked with Sport Tourism Calgary on putting in a bid. Canada Soccer put out a call last July, August, somewhere in there, for provinces to express interest in hosting the championship. We've talked about it for a number of years. Pre-COVID, we were already into the discussion that we would like to see it come to Calgary. And then this last year, it all kind of fell into place. Like I said, we had the support of Sport Tourism on the bid price, or in the bid proposal. We had the opportunity to partner with Seven Chiefs to be able to use the Starlight Center for our league games, and that's where the tournament will be held. So we finally had support from within Calgary to put in a bid. We had a proper sized venue with the proper surface to be able to say we can host this. Canada Soccer came out in October, I want to say right after Thanksgiving, and did a tour of not only the Starlight Center. We made sure that they got to see the other soccer venues that we have in Calgary so that they don't forget us for other potential national championships. That we have a lot of great facilities here and we want to be able to show them off.
Okay. How many teams are participating and how are they determined? I'm getting the impression it's generally a provincial representative, but maybe you could just walk us through how many teams we're expecting. And
we have 16 teams, which was, we were planning for 12 and now have 16 arriving. We have 8 ladies and 8 men's, and they're coming from the provinces of BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, Quebec, Nunavut, and Yukon. And each province, they are a provincial representative, so that each province establishes what their qualifying method will be for the teams. In Alberta, we are the only sanctioned futsal program currently, so it was the same as we've done for the last, will this be our 5th time we've qualified a men's team for a championship? So it was based on their on-field performance in the playdowns we had, and we qualified both our men's and women's team on March 16th.
Great. And actually, who were those teams? Because I'm not aware of who are the provincial representatives.
For us, yes. The ladies' team will be 1UP. So they're sponsored by 1UP and World of Soccer. New team put together this year, ended up on the positive side of a 3-1 game against the Old Lady Trojans, which is the SAIT alumni team. And on the men's side, you could argue it was an upset, maybe not. Cali's FC defeated Sportif 3-0. Cali's are returning to last year. They came home with a bronze medal. So this year we're hoping to see that they can change the color of the medal as they return for their third trip to a national championship.
Okay, that's great. And I want to ask about the competition to become the Alberta representative. Were there no other teams? I guess the one thing I'm kind of wondering about is I'm aware of the league that exists on a weekly basis that plays, but this was a separate competition, but it still just contained Calgary teams and there was no teams from anywhere else?
Correct. At this point in time, that's how it was qualified, because when we started qualifying teams for this competition, the requirement from Alberta Soccer was that they had to be a registered futsal program. Currently, while there's college play, there isn't another adult league that is sanctioned in the province. We keep hoping that we'll see our neighbors to the north or even to the south. I know Lethbridge has had futsal in the past. We're hoping somebody, this might be the catalyst for somebody else to decide to start a program.
Can you talk a little bit about format of the tournament? Is it going to be a round robin, or what does that look like? I know we've got 8 teams on each side of the group, so like there's 8 each. So what does that look like?
They're split. The men's side is seeded based on last year's results. The ladies' side, because it's a new competition, was just a draw of the hat. So they're both competition is 2 pools of 4 teams each. So they'll play a round robin starting 9:45 on the 13th. And they'll play each other in their pool once. And then it's pretty simple. It's the 2 fourth place teams will play off all the way down to the 2 top place teams. And both the men's and women will play for the gold medal.
And that's happening. You said it starts on the 13th and it runs until, I think, it's the Sunday the 16th? Okay.
Yeah, the gold medal games, the women's gold medal is currently set for 11:25 on the 16th, and the men's is set for 1:55. So we'll be doing game start a little bit earlier that morning just to allow the teams that have to catch a flight and get back east time to do that.
Okay. What about watching the games? What does that look like? Are there tickets being sold, or if there are fans out there that want to check this out, what's the process of going to Seven Chiefs?
Well, this is probably going to be one of their best deals. If you want to go watch futsal at Seven Chiefs, join us there. There is no admission. There is no ticket sales. We want to demonstrate the skill of the game. We want to demonstrate the passion of the game and hopefully generate interest from players of a multitude of ages and genders to come out, see it, and hopefully that will spur them into signing up for a program next fall. So there will be no admission. It's more just we want to get the numbers out there to show, obviously, support to our 2 Calgary teams, but just support for the sport itself.
Okay, so that makes sense that it's going to be very much, this is futsal. So I want to ask about that. For any soccer fans who have never seen futsal before, what would you tell them to expect, what it looks like? I think people probably at least have the knowledge that it's indoor form of the game without boards. But do you want to talk a little bit more about what you could expect if you're going to go out to Seven Chiefs and watch?
you're going to see some amazing one-on-one skill. The game, the ball's a little heavier than a normal indoor ball, so it doesn't have the same amount of bounce. Like you mentioned, there are no boards. It's to some degree almost the same as watching a basketball game, except they're obviously just playing it with their feet. So there's a lot of open court. There's a lot of one-on-one. There's a lot of just the technical skills and ball awareness and your ability to see the court, to see where the openings are coming and developing. It's very fast-paced, so it isn't it can be very high-scoring because of the pace and the amount of space. The venue we're on, we're able to stretch the court out to a full size, so you really get to see the individual talents because they're not tied upon another player. They've got space to move.
Yeah, that's what I kind of understand, is that a lot of times futsal is played using the dimensions of a basketball court, but the actual real official FIFA size, it's actually a fair bit longer, isn't it? Am I close on that?
It's, I should know the measurements off the top of my head, but I want to say it's something like 42 by 20. So it's we take two cross court basketball courts. So it's not quite a full length basketball court, but close, very close. And it's a large rectangular shape. So if you think of your normal high school gymnasium, it's almost double that size.
Actually, let's talk a little bit more about the venue itself and Seven Chiefs Complex. I've actually never been out there, and I'm kind of looking forward to maybe checking out some of these matches. But tell us a little bit more about what that facility looks like.
It's a pretty amazing venue. Sutina has every reason to be very proud of it. Seven Chiefs Complex has ice arenas. They've got two ice arenas. The Hitmen have played a number of their home games there this year. So you've got that complex. Those components. It's got a massive weight room. We've got a trainer's area, and then it's got the actual gym. Starlight Center is where the gymnasiums are at. It's got the four cross court basketball or volleyball courts, whatever you want to look at. It's where they hosted the World Volleyball Championships when they toured around through Calgary earlier. But I believe it's a 400 meter track on the upper level, concourse level. I think people will be in awe of the great job that the nation did when they built this. You know, it's right off Anderson, so it's easy to get to. So if you're Anderson and Sutina Trail, it's right on the ring road. So for people coming from wherever in Calgary, it's going to be easy to get into. And I think they'll be pleased. There's tons of parking, and it's a pretty awesome venue. I feel very fortunate that we're able to utilize it.
It sounds really like, in a lot of ways, it could be a perfect futsal venue because it has the ability to expand out the lengthwise, and it's got the room, as opposed to, say, if you were to go into like a traditional basketball court, like if you were to hold this at, you know, one of the campuses within Calgary, they wouldn't maybe quite have the length, but it sounds like you're going to have that size. So it sounds like a bit of an interesting advantage there, and get to see the game in its official pitch size.
Well, and that's the best part is, you know, in the past we've bounced around. We used Ambrose University for a number of years, and it's a beautiful gymnasium, beautiful hardwood floor, but it's small. So when our teams would qualify and then go to nationals and get onto a bigger surface, you know, your game changes when you go from a small court to a bigger court. And we've played at the Calgary Soccer Center. So you get the right size of a field, but then you're playing on carpet. So the ball and your footwork and foot skills are different. So this year is absolutely the first time we've had the full-size venue. It's a synthetic surface, so it is suited for futsal. And the guys have played on it all season. So they're used to the space, they're used to the surroundings. So I'm confident that we've got it set up for, I'll be honest, a home team advantage. They know the venue. They should be very comfortable playing there.
Okay, great. What about other things in regards to tournament updates? Is anything going to be, can we be watching social media channels? Is there going to be any streaming of any of the matches? What can we look for here to keep ourselves in the loop about what's going on?
Well, Canada Soccer, this is their championship. They own the broadcast rights, and it will be, all games are going to be live streamed by SportCan. I anticipate that link will come up on Canada Soccer's site shortly. We haven't received the links to that. We'll also have that on our site and pushing it out through our social media. We're working on the opportunity to have some discussion panels following matches on sort of a wrap up of the day's events and a little bit of who's who to watch in upcoming games. And some of this is just evolving as we're finding out and still learning on where Canada Soccer's restrictions sit and where we can freelance a little bit to help promote the competition. Canada Soccer will have their schedules back up as they've done in the past for the competitions under their local events link. We'll also be linking our website to that as well as our various social media channels to try to promote it out and ensure that people are able to get updates in a live sense. And then obviously at the venue, there will be result boards and schedules available so people know who's playing next or when team X, Y, or Z is playing the next day competition.
Okay, sounds good. I guess I really want to wrap it up with a couple into the future kind of questions. How are you going to measure success for this tournament, and how do you see the future of futsal in Alberta? I know you mentioned Calgary is the only league currently operating, but I guess maybe just go back to my first question. How do you measure the success of the tournament?
That's an interesting question. I think success for us, first and foremost, is I want all the teams to leave going, wow, that's what we expect to see at a national competition. That we want, I think they've been the focus of all our conversations is how do we make sure that the athletes coming here have the best experience? So let's provide them the best venue, the best opportunity for success. So if they leave wanting to come back, that's a positive sign, whether or not they've won the competition or not. If we see growth in the sport, be it locally or be it in Edmonton or Lethbridge or any of the other communities, that would be the best. That would be huge for us if we can see it grow to become a truly provincial competition. There's nothing better than beating your rivalry from another city to get to represent the province. So we would see that as being another measurement of success. And I think that the third measurement we would look at is seeing some of our young officials that will get exposure to officiating at a national competition, seeing that they succeed, you know, potentially getting some of the strong games on the final day and ultimately getting a chance to go to another national championship as an official. I think that's an area that people often forget about, is that the officials are also, this is their showcase as well. And I think possibly the final crowning gem would be if Canada Soccer goes, wow, this was great, we want to come back.
I really appreciate your time to take and answer our questions, and I think this was all great information. Pearl, do you just want to give us a quick mention of the social media channels that we should be following, the Twitter handles and so forth, so that our listeners can make sure they're following the right ones?
Sure. Let me just make sure I'm giving you the right ones. On Twitter, we are at Calgary United. SA, I believe, is the... Yes, Calgary United SA is our Twitter. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, both under Calgary United Soccer. Or you can just go to our website. It has all the links. And our website is just www.cusa.ab.ca.
Thanks very much for taking the time, Pearl. And I think we're going to wrap it up. It's Pearl Dope, Executive Director of the Calgary United Soccer Association. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. And I hope to see everybody out at the tournament.
Thanks. All right. I'd like to thank Pearl Dope for taking the time to do the interview with us. Scott, do you have any comments about what was said in the interview and anything, bits of information that really stood out to you?
Not necessarily. I just kind of want to reiterate that it should be a really interesting tournament, and I think it'll be very adrenaline fueled, lots of goals in futsal, lots of individual skill. So if you like to see nutmegs or dribbling talent, then this is definitely the version of the sport that you'll want to check out. And it's great to see that there's a lot of local players who are going to be there as well.
For sure. And I like the idea that we're going to have the really long court, like the international length court. So it's not just as simple as we're playing it in a basketball-sized pitch. And I think that that could be really interesting. I'm looking forward to actually seeing it because I know that it's a lot longer than a basketball court, for example, and I want to really see how that plays out.
For sure.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the YYC Soccer Podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast by using all the usual podcasting platforms. Head over to our website at yycsoccer.com with more information about how to subscribe or to leave a question or comment. You can also follow us on Twitter at yycsoccer403. Thanks for listening and have a good weekend, Scott.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Jason, and I look forward to the next episode.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye.